Welcome everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. Hope everybody's having a fabulous day. I've got a show lined up for you. I know I say that all the time, right? But I guarantee you, this is a very, very, very important show. Okay, as you know from the advertisements that have gone out, you know who my special guest is going to be. It is Orwa Hehi Medura and Comet. He's Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. region of the Osara Set Society, and we've got a very, very important show lined up for you today. But for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, we're constantly getting new listeners, and I just want to say welcome to all of the new listeners. Thank you so much. Glad you could take time out of your day to join us, and thank you for following the show. Okay, and for those who are tuning in for the very first time, you can follow the show. All you have to do is follow the show, and every time that we do a show, you'll be notified of the topic, the guest, and the times, okay? So, again, welcome. As stated, my special guest is Orwa Hehi Medura and Comet. He's Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. region of the Osara Set Society, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, just in case you're tuning in, as I said, for the first time and you're not familiar with him. Orwa Hehi Medura and Comet has been a member of the Osara Set Society since 1975. He was appointed Orwa, which again is Paramount King, by Shechem Meshechem Ra'un Nefer Amen, who is Chief Priest and King of the Osara Set Society. Well, as Orwa, he's responsible for guiding the lives of Osara Set's members and the Society's activities in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. He's a member of the Society's Carry Hair Priesthood and headed Osara Set's African Support Project. He holds a bachelor's degree in African American Studies and a master's degree in education, both from Howard University. He's also received, within the last maybe 1 or 2 years, he received his doctorate degree. Okay, so congratulations to Orwa on that. And he's the author of 2 awesome books. The book that we'll be discussing tonight is called African Names, The Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. Again, that's African Names, The Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. We're also going to tell you about a workshop that's coming up in the Washington, D.C. Region of the Osara Set Society, and we'll tell you all about that during the course of the show. Orwa is also author of another book. His most recent work is titled Divine Kingship of Asante, A Model for Sustainable Development of Self and Community. If you haven't gotten this book yet, you need to get this book. It's an excellent, excellent read, and you're going to learn a lot about the Asante, about their culture, and ways in which we can actually take and model some of the principles that they had back then and use them in our lives today. Well, I'm going to tell you how you can get that book as well, but my guest for the day is here. So let me bring him on without further ado. Let me welcome Orwa to the show. Orwa, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I'm ready for another powerful show, so thank you for coming back on.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure, my pleasure. As stated, everybody, we're going to be talking about African Names, Unlocking Your Power and Destiny, and also, again, tell you about a workshop that's coming up in Washington, D.C. You know, a title such as this, a work such as this, African Names, Unlocking Your Power and Destiny, you know, since coming to these shores, we have undergone a lot of changes. I mean, we lost a lot when we left the motherland. Our ancestors left the motherland. We were stripped of names, culture, language, and so much. And many books that have been written on African names just give you the name, maybe the country that it's from. You have a list of boys' names, girls' names, the country or region that it's from, and the meaning of the name. But this book, African Names, The Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny, is different than most other books on African names. It gets into, you know, the way in which you actually derive a name, why a particular name is chosen, how a particular name is chosen. And I'd like to ask you, Orwa, what was the impetus behind writing a book such as this? Again, most books on African names just give you the name of the country that the name is from, a list of boys and girls' name, and you pick, you pick one that you like, you know. But this book is so different than most other books or all other books on African names. What led to the writing of this book?
Well, the essence of the thesis is that there is a God, and God has a plan. And God's plan manifested in the lives of us is what we call our destiny. All of us come to earth with the express purpose of awakening the God within us and become what we call a divine man or a divine woman. But we all come to earth with different experiences, different lessons to learn, different paths to follow, different backgrounds. So even though we're all going to the same place, there are different roads that we each of us will take to get there. So we need to figure out, well, why are we on earth? What's the purpose of life? And then, okay, since I have a purpose, what are some of the tools I can use to help me be successful in achieving that purpose? And what our ancestors laid out for us was that the understanding we have a destiny and we have processes that we should use in order to help us achieve our destiny. And one of the major processes that we should use is the selection of a name. Because the name is just not something that has meaning. The name is something that has energy. Like, sound is energy. We've all seen the experience of, well, not all of us, some are too young to see it. But, you know, those of us who are old enough, remember the commercial where Ella Fitzgerald hits that note and the glass breaks.
Yes.
And what we want to know, was it live or was it Memorex? Well, that's just a slight demonstration of the kind of effect that sound has in the world. Sonar, you know, there's a lot of different ways that sound benefits us, in addition to our ability to hear. Sound also is a way of moving things around, identifying things, affecting things. So our ancestors understood this, and they understood that the sounds that a person hears are going to have an effect on them. And there's nothing we're going to hear more often than our own name after we get to be about 3 or 4 years old. Up to that point, it's probably no.
That's true. That's true. You know, Brother Owa, you mentioned why are we here, you know, and I think that if you'd like, we can start the conversation about the name with that thought in mind so we can lay the foundation, because the name will be chosen based upon an individual's particular incarnation objective. That it might be why that individual is here for this particular lifetime. But on a broader scale, just in terms of man's being on this planet, why are we here? And then from there we can move into what is destiny?
Okay. Excuse me. Well, we're here to become a vessel through which the Supreme Being can express itself on Earth. All of the world, all of life, all of creation, universe, whatever you want to call it, is here for the same purpose. It's all created by God in order for God to experience his potentials. And when we look at, let's just take a simple example. Before there's any creation or manifestation, what's in existence? We say God in its essential state. And the essential state would be consciousness, that which perceives and is aware of things, and spirit, that which makes things happen. And spirit is what we call energy matter, same synonymous terms. But prior to the spirit being organized into things, there are no things in existence. You with me? So, if there's no things in existence, then how can God truly be an omniscient reality, meaning an all-knowing reality? Because we know based on our association with things. So prior to manifestation, since nothing has been created, nothing has been manifested, there is nothing there to be known. So God then creates all things imaginable and possible, dwells within those things in order to experience what it means to be all-knowing. And man, being on the highest level of creation, has something that no other aspect of creation has. That's a free will. So we can each choose what we're going to do, how we're going to respond to circumstances and situations. We can choose what we're going to eat and what we're not going to eat. You know, lions are not going to become vegetarians. You know, the old picture in the Bible about the lions laying down with lambs, nice poetry, but I don't think it happened. So the point is this. If we have the ability to exercise free will, so then that puts us in link with God, because only God is the only other entity that has free will. So God gives us His free will that we can choose to live according to His law, His laws. But we either choose to do it or we don't choose to do it. Meaning most people give in to what's called the lower parts of the spirit or the animal parts of the brain. You know, we have a brain which enables us to interact and process things in the environment. But we just don't have a brain. We have four parts of our brain. We have two parts of the brain which are called the animal parts of the brain, the reptilian brain and the mammalian brain. And they're called the animal parts of the brain because they're the dominant part of the brains in animals. And the same kinds of behaviors that they influence and allow animals to do, they also influence in humans, in our behavior. So we can either give in to that part of the brain and allow the animal to guide us and be in that and live like an animal, or we can not. We can choose not to do so. The third part of the brain is what we call the cerebral cortex. That's the human brain. And the human brain is that part of the brain that we take to school. We send to school, we learn to write, we learn to read, we learn to calculate. All the things that take place in school, we use the human brain. The problem with the human brain is it cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. No matter how logical something is, that doesn't mean it's going to be correct. You're the old saying, logic but not necessarily true. So, fortunately for us, God endowed us with a fourth brain called the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex, if you read the literature on this part of the brain, is the part of the brain which enables one to take control of the animal parts of the brain, to control our emotions and sensations. It's the part of the brain which allows us to cultivate our spirituality and morality. So this is the part of the brain that separates us from everything else that's created. This is the divinity within us. When you see pictures of the kings from ancient Kemet, you notice that they have the cobra and the vulture on their forehead, center of the forehead. Well, the center of the forehead is where the prefrontal cortex is. And so that's the part of the brain that enables us to tap into our divinity, to awaken our divinity, and to begin to live on earth as divine beings, as we are designed to do. Which then allows us to achieve our destiny, which is to become a divine being. But since we all grow at different levels, different states, different levels of reality, then each of us is going to have a different kind of a different path to follow, so to speak, of experiences. But all those experiences are leading toward one thing: to provide the vehicle for us to become the vehicle through which God can experience itself, the fullness of its potential on earth. So the old saying, as on earth as it is in heaven.
Well, if we talk about destiny, and the word predestined comes to mind, people, obviously, those who do not believe in, you know, life being predestined because of the fact that we make choices, you know, because we have the ability to choose, and we do choose, you know, we choose you know, where we're going to live, where who we're going to marry, you know, whether or not we're going to have kids in many cases. You know, all their life is full of choices, where you want to work, you know, or if you want to work. I mean, you know, life is just full of choices. And with those choices in mind, those who don't believe in that life is predestined because of the power to choose feel that, well, how can my life be planned out for me if I'm the one that's making the choices? Your take on that?
Well, let's look at it like this. Let's say you go to school. When you go to school, you're given a curriculum. The teacher outlines what you're supposed to learn, how you're going to go about learning it. Now, you can choose to learn it or not learn it.
Mm-hmm.
But to be successful, you have to follow the course. So it is in life. I mean, we come here with a goal, a set goal. We're all supposed to accomplish X or Y. And we're all supposed to get there through this path Q or Z. But we can choose, as you say, not to be where we should be. We can choose to be someplace where we shouldn't be. That's what free will is. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a place we should be. Just because I'm going in the opposite direction doesn't mean I shouldn't be over there.
Well,
you can't believe in God. You can't believe in God and not know that God has a plan. If you want to be successful in your life, whatever it is, let's say you have a career goal, what do? You follow a plan to get there. God doesn't plan. God just out here willy-nilly.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because because if you look at the species of man, you could see that there has to have been a plan. Just when you just look at the human body, I mean, you know, the nostrils to breathe, the eyes to see, you know, the different senses of touch and taste and smell and hearing and, you know, whatever the other one is. And, you know, you could tell just even procreation, you know, you could tell that man was made with woman in mind or vice versa. You know, then you have children who, if a term goes as expected, should go approximately 9 months, you know. And, you know, you can tell there's just every way you look, you can see that there is a plan. So it's not unfathomable for me to think that, you know, our lives, we do have a common destiny. But, you know, again, those who look at, for example, I was predestined to meet this person, or I was predestined to, you know, do this or that, you know, don't take into consideration that it's possible that God could have a plan, an individual plan for your life. Now, when we talk about names, though, and going about choosing a name according to the principles in your book, there's what's called an incarnation objective, okay, an incarnation objective, which implies that, I mean, when we talk about incarnation, the first thought that might come to people's head is reincarnation, but we're speaking specifically of this incarnation. But when you talk about the incarnation objective, well, first, could you explain what that is? What is the incarnation objective, and how does that go about or relate to the choosing of a person's name?
Okay. Well, the incarnation objective, also called the destiny reading, is the reading that identifies specifically what are the major challenges, major lessons that each individual is supposed to learn during the course of their lifetime. These are the major emphasis in your life. These are the things, kinds of things that you're going to come in contact with. These are the kinds of things that you have to learn to master. So when we talk about doing the destiny reading, and let's make it all simple and clear. The only way any of this makes sense is if there is a way in which we can communicate with God in order to find out, well, what is my destiny? what is the plan for me during this lifetime? What is the course that I should follow? What are the kinds of things I should be trying to learn? Unfortunately, our ancestors, through their intuition, have cultivated techniques and technologies that enable us to communicate with the Supreme Being prior to our awakening the divinity within us. Because all of us have the innate and intuitive ability to know truth in any given situation. But until that light is turned on within us, fortunately we have ways in which we can communicate to find out what is the proper course to follow in any given situation at any given time in our lives. And that's what enables us to identify, well, what is the fire's destiny reading? What is it that, what's the incarnate, what's major lessons I'm to learn this lifetime? And so once I know where I'm supposed to be going, then I'm looking at what are the vehicles that can take me there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I'm supposed to be going to L.A., there's different ways to get to L.A. I can walk, I can run, I can ride a bike, I can take the train, I can drive a car, I can take a boat, I can take a plane, I can take a helicopter. I mean, there's a whole bunch of ways I can get to L.A. What's the best way for me to get there? Everyone going there is not necessarily going to take the same course.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a best way I should follow to get there. And so since that's the vehicle, since I've identified the vehicle, then I need the keys to that vehicle. If I'm going to fly a plane, I first have to learn how to fly. Go to flight school. Learn nautical science and drag and lift and all those things. I have no clue what I'm talking about. I have to do all those things in order to get the plane there. If I'm going to ride a bike, I got to condition myself as a long walk, ride, whatever. So the tool, the name then, is the vehicle that's going to help me get to where I'm trying to go. Because it has the specific energy necessary, qualities necessary to put me in the positions necessary for me to learn the lessons necessary to achieve my goal. But how do I know that this name is the right name? Well, unfortunately, I go back to God. I do another reading to make sure that the name that means or why I should be in L.A. is the right one, because there's a different ways they can say that. There's a lot of different words that can be used to say L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to make sure that the particular words I'm using, the particular sounds I'm using, particular names I'm using, are the ones that are best for me to help me achieve my destiny, reach my goal.
Now, could you talk for a moment about, in a previous show we talked about, you mentioned that it was so important, it was very important, and the importance of the name is exemplified in the fact that there are three deities present at birth, one of them being the deity of the name or the Ren. Could you talk about that?
Sure. In the scriptures of ancient Kemet, we find that at the birth, during the birthing of a child, there are three deities, three principles that are present. One is Shai, which is the god of destiny. The other is Meskhenet, which is the goddess of moving forward in a situation. And the third one is, she's the Meskhenet, is like the midwife god, there to protect the mother and the birth channels to help the child come forth successfully. And the third one is Renenet, which is the name, the god of the name Ren, which is the Kemetic name for the Ren, for the name. So what it's saying is that three things all come together at this one time at the birth of a child. Its destiny is proclaimed. First of all, there's energy there to protect it and coming into the world. Then its destiny is proclaimed. And then the name that it needs in order to be successful is also proclaimed as a part of its destiny. Now see, the world has gotten so far away from spiritual understanding and true spiritual expressions, true spiritual communication, that there's just a lot of a lot of myths and ideas about things. But our ancestors were very clear about what's taking place in the spirit world when a child is being born into the world.
Could you talk for a moment, Brother Orwa, even about the different faculties, the 11 faculties of man's being, because these are the faculties that are going to make up a person's destiny reading or their incarnation objective, and the name will be chosen from one or two of these faculties. Could you talk about the 11 faculties, or I guess it would be in this particular discussion would be the 11 faculties of God and man, and how the name relates to or will be derived from one or more of those faculties?
Sure. Well, once we go to God to find out what's this person's destiny, what's the destiny reading, we use the Medina Ter Oracle, which has 14 symbols, 14 medu, or 14 words, so to speak. And each of these symbols has a specific meaning in terms of influence and expression in the world. So, for example, and during the course of a destiny reading, the person could have one or more. They could have, so I know a person, I think it has five medu came up based on some circumstances within their reading. But that's another discussion. Normally, they're going to have one or two. Most people have one or two. And so I'm going to go, I can't give you all the combinations, but I just go through and give you a generic explanation of what each of them might mean isolated. So, for example, if a person has an Amen reading as a part of their destiny, Amen is the law that says peace is my essential nature. And if peace is my nature, that means that anything that's not about peace is a violation of my nature. So any emotion, anger, frustration, whatever, that I'm experiencing is going to be a violation of my essential nature. So a person who has a destiny reading of Amen is a person who's going to learn that whatever the challenge is, whatever the situation is in their life, that they have to always focus on finding the peace to work through their situation.
And that would be more so than anyone. I'm sorry to interrupt, but would that be more so than anybody else? Because some person would say, well, wouldn't that be the case with all of us? I mean, regardless of our IO or destiny reading, that, you know, you could take somebody with a setback, you know, incarnation objective. Wouldn't they be charged with remaining peaceful in any and all situations? So would it be more so for the person? Would they be experiencing the person with the Amen destiny reading? Would they face more challenges in that area than the average person?
Not necessarily more challenges. But their challenges would be greater in terms of impact and importance.
Okay.
For example, you know, the great sage James Brown said, you got to use what you got to get what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to become a divine man, and there are 11 faculties that I have to cultivate toward the successful accomplishment of my divinity, then there's going to be some faculties which have greater import or greater emphasis than others. Some things I'm going to come into the world already able to do on some level or another, and some things I'm going to come in with zero experience or zero background or zero experience, a potential in terms of expression. The potential's there, but I haven't cultivated the ability to carry it out yet. So there's always going to be variations on the theme. Sure, peace is everyone's essential nature. Everyone has to learn to cultivate peace in response to the challenges in life. But if I have an Amen destiny reading, it means that this is the major the major focus of my life in every given situation. In some situations, I may need to cultivate heru. I may need to cultivate the ability to exercise free will because I'm allowing my emotions to guide me. So different circumstances, different situations, but 11 laws are going to come to play in everybody's life. So, but in our men's situation, we got to look at, well, this person is going to be, unfortunately, constantly seeking peace or happiness outside of themselves. They'll be looking for happiness from someone else or something else or avoiding something else or whatever. Because happiness is an innate quality or innate nature. But most people, we've been taught by this society that happiness is what we give, what we have when we have something else. If I can get that car, if I can get that woman, if I can get that house, if I don't have to deal with that boss, these are the things that are going to make me happy. So if you got in our men destiny reading, then we got to really focus on constantly reinforcing and laying down the foundation for understanding that happiness is what you bring to life. It's not what you get out of life. Osir, if I have a destiny reading of Osir, it's going to say that Osir, the law of Osir says that nothing and no one's against me. Well, if nothing and no one's against me, that means I can't have any enemies. That means I can't have any oppositions. But in the world and in life's experiences, there are always going to be situations and circumstances which appear as though they're conspiring against me or working against me. So I have to learn now that to find the unity through the difficulty. I have to be able to learn, take this experience and find that which unifies those that appear to be in opposition to one another. So I'm constantly going to be challenged to not allow my emotions to dictate my response to other people in certain circumstances. But I have to understand that nothing is against me. It may be an opportunity for me to learn or develop something. It's like if I need to get stronger, I need to exercise my muscles, my body, right?
Yeah.
Well, if I go into a gym and I just look at the equipment, I'm not going to get stronger. I have to go and apply energy to resistance, force to resistance, muscle to resistance. So that person that appears to be against me is really just an opportunity for me to get stronger and awakening my oneness with all. Because ultimately, if all of us are here as expressions of one supreme being, if the consciousness that's within all of us is that same one supreme being, then there truly is no one that's against me. There can be no one, because everything is about one.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a Tahuti destiny reading, then I have to be mindful of going to God to get counsel, because Tahuti people have the idea in their head that they know. They're normally bright people. They're very good intellectually, but they think that intellectual knowledge is the same as wisdom, which is not. So they're kind of people that have to constantly seek out counsel. So if I have a Tahuti destiny reading, then I need to learn how to divine, because I need to always be in touch with God to find out, is this the correct course? Because ultimately, in life, when we have situations that challenge us, so-called oppositions, Tuti says we have to find the win-win. Because it's only when I can find the win-win that I'm truly going to be able to resolve a conflict or a challenge or an opportunity or an opposition. If you and I are at odds with one another, and I forcibly overpower you, take control of you, manipulate you, whatever, you're going to constantly be seeking a way to get back at me. because you feel violated. But if you and I are at odds, and I can come up with a way where we both walk away feeling as though we both come away complete or whole, or we both are winners, then I don't have to worry about you trying to vanquish me. That's the only way that true peace is going to resolve on earth. War is never an answer to peace. It's just it's antithesis of peace. You can't have peace through war. And anyone who thinks they can have peace through war is a person who's working through the lower parts of their spirit. That's the human and the animal brains that are at work. It's the animal brain that says, this is my turf. I have to take control of my turf. I have to control my turf. I have to drive off my turf. That's the way lions act. That's the way dogs act. That's the animal kingdom at work. So if I can't see, if I don't understand, if I can't elevate my consciousness to the point where I'm seeking and finding a win-win, then I need to learn how to go to God to find out, well, what is the proper thing to do here? If I have a destiny set reading of Secker, then I have to constantly be mindful that the challenges I'm facing, the things I call challenges in my life, are there to teach me a lesson, and that everyone has their own path to follow. Some people, so it does me no good to be envious of someone else's circumstances or situation. Some people were born with wealth. They didn't do anything to earn it. They were born there. Their lessons has to be learning how to live properly with what they've been given. Some people are born in poverty. Not through any fault of their own. They were just born in poverty. Their lesson has to be learned how to live with what they've been given. We all have the same course to follow. We have different paths to take. Different lessons to learn. It does me no good to bemoan my fate, quote unquote, based on what I see someone else able to do or what someone else has. That's their destiny. There are so many people who have wealth whose lives are a complete wreck. We know the stories. So many people who have wealth commit suicide. We're saying, what's wrong with them? They got all the money they would need. They're not happy because it's not about the wealth or the poverty. It's the cultivation of happiness as your innate nature, as your true nature. If we're constantly looking for things outside of ourselves, someone else has it or whatever, then we're never going to achieve true happiness. If you have a Maud reading, then you have to constantly be looking for the opportunity to share with others. How can I help someone else without seeking anything in return, without any gratitude, seeking gratitude? Because that's what Maud represents, love. And true love is giving, seeking nothing in return. So the Maud challenges are going to be situations where it could be where, excuse me, you're called upon to give to someone who's definitely in need of what you have. But this same person is someone who's taken advantage of you in the past. But it's not about that. It's about your lesson is to learn how to give. Once you've identified it's the right thing to do, to give this person, then the past and the future have nothing to do with what you're living. Because the past, we can't control the past, and we can't control the future. We can only control the present. So what I do now is going to determine what I'm able to accomplish in my life. So if I have a Maud reading, then I'm constantly have to look for how can I share, where must I share? Because smart people can be kind of, it becomes one of selflessness as opposed to selfishness. Because you may want to hold on. Like if you have a child who has a Maud destiny, you know how children get. That's my toy.
It's mine.
Someone comes over, they hold the toy. You have to really work with that child in the early parts to get them to understand that, yes, sharing is caring, to cultivate the act of sharing what they have with someone else, because that's a great lesson for them to learn in this lifetime.
Okay.
If you have a Hiruhuti Destiny reading, then you have to be mindful of what we call justice and not vengeance. See, that's the problem. Justice is about reestablishing the balance, reestablishing the equilibrium, reestablishing love, reestablishing mawat. Someone does something. They violate me, some way or another. What they did was wrong. My response to them can be wrong as well. If I'm about seeking revenge or payback, then I'm only perpetuating the same cycle that got me there in the first place. You know, there's the old saying, he be illin or she be illin. Well, that's the
right.
reality. People be illin. We're all ill. Look at the society that we live in. We're all nurtured by the society in which we live in. We all take our cues, our psychic energy, our ideas from the society in which we live in. And the society we live in is one of dog-eat-dog, man versus animal, you know, top dog is the worm, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone is feeding off of this energy, and it leads to the kinds of issues and conflicts and situations that we have in life. So the solution is not, you may have to restrain the criminal, but the solution is not to, there's a saying in the Yi Jing, the Chinese Book of Wisdom, which says, prisons should not be permanent resting places. Which is to say that, yes, someone may do something incorrect because their father was a drunkard, their father's mother took drugs, their father abused his mother. I mean, whatever the circumstance. It could be any 100,000 different circumstances that lead to the illness that the society is sick. Society is sick, man. Western culture is sick. It's sick. And this leads us to another point that we should at least point out here. That if that's the cause of the sickness, that can't be the cause of the healing.
Good point.
So, since society is sick, and we're all products of this sick society, so much toxins in the air, the food, the water, everywhere, then we have to understand that the problem, the wrong that people do, is not most often not because people want to do wrong, because people don't know what's right. If you're constantly raised to with the idea that it's a dog-eat-dog world, then you're constantly going to be trying to take advantage of other people. Not because you're an evil person, but because that's all you know. And that's the kind of society, and that's how they control people. That's how a few hundred people can control the mass of the people on the planet. Because they got everybody convinced that I'm in this for myself. You and I are separate. We're not a part of the same. So if I have a Hiruhuti reading, I have to try to truly seek out justice, which means I have to be learned again to go to God to find out, well, what is the proper response in this situation? Because the tendency, the animal part of me, wants to do what animals do. But the divine part of me says that I am in control of the animal, so I have to guide it. If I have a Heru reading as part of my destiny, then I have to be mindful of the realization that I'm free to choose. Right? The old saying that the devil made me do it, that goes out the window.
Right.
Because I had a choice in the matter. Nothing can compel any of us to do what we want to do. Animals are compelled to do things through their instinct because they have no choice. But we have a free will. We can choose to go against the feelings that we're experiencing, the quote-unquote the animal instinctive behaviors that are programmed into our lower parts of our spirit. We can choose to override them. So if I have a Hebrew reading, then that's the primary thing I need to learn. I need to learn that if I'm going to be the king, Hebrew is symbolic of the king. And the king's role is to administer everything that's in this kingdom, to be the administrator, to guide, make sure everything is working together in harmony. So a Hebrew person is a person that has to become a good administrator. You can't be in one successful in one area and falling down in the other. You got to be a complete ruler. You can't abdicate the throne in this area and take control here. You have to control the whole sphere. So it means everything about you has to be in balance. You have to eat right. You have to breathe right. You have to meditate right. You have to exercise properly. You have to couple the right thinking. All because Heru is in the center of the tree. So everything feeds and spokes through Heru. If I have a Heru destiny, then I have to be mindful of the imaging that I hold on to and the ways I seek my joy. If I'm not cultivating joy for awakening my divinity, then I'm using joy in the wrong way. If I'm using joy, if I believe that joy is what I need to accomplish something, then I'm violating the very basic principle of Heteru. Joy is not what I'm going to get from something. Joy is what I use to get to something.
Okay.
People believe that, people get all, I'm going to be joyful when I get this job. So they get all morose and ill-tempered, you can't talk to them, etc. But it's the joy that's going to bring this situation to them.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the things that we do in life. Everything that, the things that we all do on our own are things that we enjoy. Most people have violated their New Year's resolutions by now because they've resolved to do something that they don't enjoy doing. And they haven't cultivated a joy for it, which is what Heteru is about. Heteru is about using the imagination to cultivate joy for doing what's necessary, what's correct in life. If a child has a Sebek reading, then they have to learn that what they become convicted to has to be connected with truth. Because whatever you believe is going to lead you someplace. If your belief is not connected with truth, then it's leading you in the wrong direction. So if I have a Sebek reading, I have to be very mindful of the things like the convictions that I hold and making sure that they linked to what is correct, what's truthful. So I need to go to God. Again, I need to go divine. And in all these circumstances, we need to go to God. So I'm just reinforcing that here, but it's applied everywhere. If I have an offset reading, then the question becomes, well, what am I going to be devoted to? Am I going to be devoted to my emotions? You know, offset is the symbol of the mother. And the mother has an emotional attachment to her offspring, her child, such that, you know, the child could be the worst person on the planet, an axe murderer, but the mother's still going to go visit her in prison. So there's that emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm.
So how are my emotions guiding me? Am I going to apply my emotions, my devotion to becoming a divine being, which is the highest expression of that devotion? So Osir is the wife of Osir, who's a symbol of the divine being. So the fact that I am wedded to the process of awakening my divinity is the truest expression of Osir. But we got to be mindful of how we allow our feelings to guide us when we have an Osir reading. Geb. If I have a Geb reading, I have to be very mindful of my health. being mindful of watching out for my health, taking good care of my health in all the ways that I know that are good health. I can't be violating the health, because the health, everyone's foundation is their health. Everyone's ability to be successful in the world is health. But a person that's a Gebrean is more susceptible to it being a problem for them, or let's say another way, it's more important that it's an asset for them in terms of getting
right
where they need to go. If your health is whack, I don't care what you risk, how much money you got, where you live, who you are, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. But when you have a Gebrean, you have to be very mindful of your health, but not just your health. The circumstances around you, your environment, the resources that you have at your disposal. You know, there's an old saying that if I have a hammer, everything is like a nail. Well, some people, everyone comes into the world with one of these tools happening. But if I think that everything's a nail, then I'm going to be banging my way through life. Well, there's times when you should bang. There's times when you should smooth. There's times when you should cut. There's different tools that we have to build a strong, sturdy house. You have to employ many different tools. You have to measure things. You have to smooth things. You have to plane things. You have to precisely cut things. You can't just hit, bang everything and make it work. So with Geb, we have to be mindful of making sure that the resources, that we're in touch with the resources necessary to be successful in doing something. Now, we also can have influences from the ancestral realm. So if you have an ancestor card, either Dark Deceased or Shep's card, then what's being said here is that you really need to be mindful of, one, not allowing ill energies and ill effects from the community and society to guide you, meaning we're the deep, only in theory do people believe that everyone dies and it's it. Because everyone talks about someone's dead, he's now in heaven. Well,
right.
2 or 3 months later, grandma came to him in a dream or whatever. Right. So the African understanding of life is that we live, we die, but when we die, we don't die to existence. We die to the physical world, existence on the physical world, but not to influence the possible physical world. And then based on how we live, then the types of influence that we can have is either beneficial or potentially harmful. And based on how we live and what we cultivate as our spirit, our ability to help or harm people is also predicated on that. So if I pull an ancestor card, what it's saying to me is I have to become a devotee to the ancestral processes and ancestral ways. I have to really learn the spiritual teachings of our ancestors and begin to apply them in my life and be very mindful of the ideas and influences and impressions I get that just pop in my head. Because they could be coming from a deceased person who may be well-meaning but unenlightened and cause me problems. The other energies that come from the spirit world are what we call Wajet and Nekhebet, which would be yin and yang in the Chinese, or electricity and magnetism, positive and negative forces. Now, this is just energy itself. This is raw energy, unbridled energy, that the world runs on. Everything in the world runs on energy. And energy has two poles. It has a positive pole and a negative pole. And our receptivity, our ability to harness this energy and our receptivity to this energy is going to influence our ability to be successful in what we're trying to do. So, for example, let's just say, for example, back in the old days when we had TV antennas. You know, you want to see channel 5, you turn your tuner to channel 5, and it picks up the signal for channel 5. You want to switch to channel 7, you turn your tuner to channel 7, it picks up the tuner, the signal for channel 7. Well, the fact that I switched from 5 to 7 doesn't mean that the signal for channel 5 is no longer there. It just means I'm not attuned to it now. I'm not fine-tuned to it now. So there are people, some people come into the world and they're more attuned to these frequencies than other people. So they might get a YJET or a Nekabet reading, which is to say that if you have this as your destiny reading, you have to be very mindful to not allow the impressions, the influences, the ideas and feelings that just pop into your head or into your spirit to move you, because you could be picking up the signals from someone else or some situation else. You know, there's a bridge here in Washington that it used to be called the Suicide Bridge. Now it's on Calvert Street, and it's right around the corner from another bridge, identical bridge, on Connecticut Avenue. But everyone who wanted to commit suicide in Washington back in the day would jump off of this one bridge. They wouldn't walk around the corner. They might walk across the other bridge to get to this bridge to jump off. So much so they got this high fence up on the bridge to keep people from jumping. The other bridge has nothing on it. People can literally just go to the other bridge and jump. Right? But people know why they jump off that bridge. Why? Because there's a psychic energy, there's a force that's there at that bridge, cultivated through the psychic energy of people, the pain and anguish of people who've jumped there before or who've thought about jumping or whatever. And so if you're depressed, despondent, and you have a YJET or a Nekabet destiny reading, you'll be very mindful of the kinds of things you just allow to pop in your head. It just popped in your head, I should jump off this bridge. Why? I don't know. Just feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why the destiny reading is so important, because it gives you insights into the kinds of things. For example, like all of us are going to be at some point in our life susceptible or not to YJET and Nekabet, but we're not always going to be on point with it. But a person who has that as a destiny reading has to always be on point with it.
Now, does it matter whether or not the reading that they have for the destiny reading, and we're giving the example that you're giving is a person that has a single pull, that I guess would be as a head tap as opposed to a combination of two cards, but how would the head tap to Chaz or to Ma'at play in it? How would that affect that person's reading? I know there is an effect, but just for those who are listening, how would, say, a Hetep or a Tuchaz or a Tuma'at or a Tim even affect that person's reading? Because you gave the faculty and the lesson that individual needs to learn if they get that particular faculty as a destiny reading. How would it, being a Tu or a Tim, affect that reading?
Well, there's 5 suits in the system. So for an Osir card, there are 5 different Osir cards in amongst the deck. And the suits just give us variations on our ability to perceive and act on the law itself or the situation itself. So the quote-unquote the positive suits mean that we can see what needs to happen for the most part. The negative suits mean we can act on what needs to happen for the most part, but we can't see. The positive suits mean we can see, but we can't act. And the tep means that our ability to see and act on what needs to happen is in balance. So we should be able to easily or without great challenge go through and be successful in what we need to do. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So it just gives us variations on the theme.
Okay. Wow, everybody.
Think about it this way. A good analogy is typing. Back in the day, we had typewriters. A lot of people don't know what those are these days. But a typewriter, you can there's different levels of typing. Same thing with the keyboard now on your computer, right? Some people can put their hands on the keyboard, look at text off the side, and flawlessly convert the text that's on the paper onto the screen as a HTEP situation. Some people look at the paper on the side, and then they have to periodically look back at the keys to make sure they're typing properly. That could be a 2-chaya situation. Some people look at the paper on the side and then look over the keys, look back at the paper, look at the keys, and type that way. That's a 2-mod. So ability to see what I need to do and ability to experience or express what I need to do varies based on that. Some people just get on the keyboard and start banging away. That's a 10-chaya situation.
Okay. What about clans? Does a clan play any role in the person's name choice or at all? Because, again, we know that people come and they are part of different clans based upon other, you know, variables. But would that at all impact a person's name choice?
No, it's not going to impact the name choice. It might help guide you toward where to look for the name. Meaning that two people have the same destiny reading. One of them has an Osir reading. One has Osir. Let me see. One of them has a, let's say, a Tuti Herukuti reading. And the other one has a Tuti Sebek reading. Now, let's say that the one that has the Tuti Sebek reading is in the Sebek clan. So that might give me an indicator then that the name and choosing the name and looking for the name, I need to look for names that are heavy into Sebek linking to Tehuti as opposed to, let's say, Tuti linking to Sebek.
Okay. Well, I see some callers up on the line. If you have a question, how are you on time?
I got a few minutes.
Everybody, now's your chance. Orwell's on the line. If you'd like to ask a question regarding your name or the process of choosing a name, please press 1 on your telephone, and then I can bring you on and you can ask your question, or you can make your comment. What about last names, Orwell? People that might have chosen a first name, the process is, is it the same for choosing the last name?
Same thing.
Okay.
You're just going to modify the question as to, in terms of, because last name is normally a collective name, meaning people in a family. So the question would be, rather than what this person needs to accomplish, is what's the family's energy, what the family needs to accomplish.
And when it comes to children and names, naming children, you know that once you find out what your child's incarnation objective is, and of course you choose a name for that child that's going to help steer and, you know, and guide them through them knowing the energetics of the name, what the name means, how it's going to help them to fulfill their destiny. Is there a period of time that should elapse before the choosing of a name for a child? Or because when would be the time to do the reading on the child while the child is in the mother's womb? Would that be the opportune time to do it, or just wait until the child is born?
Wait till it's born.
Okay. Any particular reason why that? Oh, somebody's got a question. Any particular reason why you still there?
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Okay. Any particular reason why it'd be best to just wait for its born, even if you know the sex while it's in the womb?
Well,
oh, because
never
of
know.
That. Okay. That's okay. That's true. Good point. I thought about it too because of the deities that are present at birth. Right, the deities, the three deities that are present, they're present at birth, right?
Right.
Okay. Or we got a question. Somebody, I'm going to call out the last four digits of your phone number.
Okay. 89.
71. 8971. You're on the air with Orwa and Hema Duran Common. Welcome to the show.
Hetepo, how y'all doing today?
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, so I'm coming a little late to the show, so I apologize if I'm answering a question you already answered, but I wanted to know what was the difference after I go through the process and I get a comedic name, on me legalizing that name or just using it on the side. So I remember hearing another radio show, and somebody was urging that it's important that if you can and when you can to actually get that legalized. Is that something differently energetically?
No, but you definitely want, you should get it legalized because, again, the value of the name is in the usage. So if you don't legalize your name, then the people that know you under your previous name is still going to call you the previous name.
I see. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you have another question, brother?
No, just I'm real excited to you know, tap into the book. I know I have Ma'at Haru, both Hetep reading. And when I had Haru Hetep, so I can't wait to find the name for myself.
Very good.
Brother Orr, with that combination, you got anything you can share with him? You went down the list, and it was pretty much, you know, just basically taking the one faculty. Now, somebody with a combination like him, what would that, based on his combination, what would you, I mean, I guess it could be brief, just a brief explanation of what that would mean for him.
Okay. Well, briefly, he has to be very, his lessons are going to come from situations where he has to choose to be a giving person, be a sharing person, as opposed to allowing his feelings or whatever to dictate how he interacts with others. You know, there's a lot more to it, but let me just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Tuffle, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your call, brother. Brother Orwa, I know people are going to want to get this book. I mean, it's been used to name God knows how many thousands of people have gotten their comedic names using the principles in this book, the instructions in this book. And there may be people that are listening to this show and wondering how they can get the book, too, so that they can go about the process of constructing a comedic name. How can people get this book and your other book, Divine Kingship of Asante, A Model for Sustainable Development of Self and Community?
Well, the Divine Kingship book they can get on Amazon. African Names book, do not go to Amazon and buy it, because somebody was trying to sell the book for $240-some.
Wow.
They think it's out of print, but it's not out of print. I have copies of the book. But they can get it at Taui Network. Carries the book, as well as they can get and here in D.C. at our store, Simbeb. I'm going to put it on Amazon. I just haven't done so.
Okay. So Taui Network, that's T-A-U-I Network. Was that www.taui.network? Is that .biz.com?
Yeah.
Biz?
Yeah, on the website. You can go to the website and order the book.
Okay. And you got a workshop coming up in D.C. on February the 3rd. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, on February the 3rd, 5 p.m. at 6224 3rd Street Northwest here in D.C. We'll be doing a workshop on the process of doing the name, discussing some of the points we discussed tonight in terms of why a name is important, but we'll get more in terms of actual mechanics of actually going about and getting a name, and different ways that people get names.
And that's $10. It's going to be $10. And for more information for people who, you know, and I'll give the address again, and for more information, please call 202-477-6049. Again, that's 202-477-6049. 9. Now, again, that's at 6224 3rd Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., and the zip code there is 20011. Was that the correct number, Brother Orwell, 20247-6049?
Tatron, I'm not sure.
You know what? I'm looking at a different number. No, scratch that. 202-723-5566. Okay?
Yeah.
Scratch that other number, okay? For more information, call 202-723-5566. That's
yeah.
February the 3rd. That's Saturday, February the 3rd, starting at 5 p.m., and you definitely want to take advantage of this because, again, if you already got your African name, that's wonderful. But you may have children who you or you might be pregnant and you're thinking to yourself, you know, wow, you know, I really want to make sure that I listen to the show. I can see the benefit in an African name. Well, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, definitely make it to the workshop. Okay. Again, that's Saturday, February the 3rd, starting at 5 p.m. And it's $10. So, you know, that's, I mean, that might as well be free. I mean, you know, when you think about the benefit that you can get out of this, please, that's a drop in the bucket. Brother Orwell, anything that we hadn't shared on the name that you feel might be important to plug in here before we go?
Yes. Well, the last thing you mentioned, if you have, but might already have an African name. Well, the question is, whether you have an African name or not, how did you get the name? Is it the right name for you relative to your destiny? So even if you have another name, that maybe your mama gave you a name, maybe your father gave you a name, maybe you chose the name yourself, did you go to God to find out how is this name going to help you or not help you achieve your destiny? Because something can be benign but still a problem.
Yeah, because now it's day names. I mean, we know a lot of people that have day names, brothers from Africa who might be named after a day of the week. Now, if they have a day name but not a name that was outlined necessarily in the book, and you know what was interesting too is you have some people that have day names and they weren't even born on that day. You know, like, for example, you might take somebody with the name Kwame. Now, they might not have been born on the day that Kwame is attributed to, but some mother might just like the name Kwame, you know,
yeah.
And say, oh, okay, I mean, I'm going to name my child Kwame, and he might not even have been born on that day. Before we go, could you talk about day names?
Well, day names are a process of, because every day has a particular energy, particular vibration. So day names are a process that used in many cultures to, as a means of acknowledging the energy of that particular day that the child was born. But it, oftentimes it's not the only part of their name, but it's just a part of their name. So they may have two or three different parts to their name, including the day name. Because the day name is important, because the day we're born is the signature of terms of stamp of energy. But it may not be the only thing that we need. So that's why we suggest going to God to find out, well, I'm using this name. How is this name helping me or not helping me toward achieving my own destiny?
Everybody, my special guest today has been Orwell Hehi Medaran Comet, Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. region of the Osiriset Society. Just want to let everybody know that you can follow this show, Health, Wealth, and Divine. You can follow it. All you have to do is just follow it, okay? There should be a link if you're listening online where you can actually follow the show, and that way you'll be notified every time we do a show. You'll be notified of the date, the time, the topic, and the guest. Also, want to recommend two shows, okay? This is going to be the last show of the month, and so Juwanza's picks for the month, this past month, where we just did a show, as a matter of fact, with Orwell Hehi Medaran Comet on January the 18th, okay, that was called EMF, Is It Hurting Our Community? EMF, Is It Hurting Our Community? That was with my special guest for today, Orwell Hehi Medaran Comet. Awesome show. You'd be surprised if you didn't know all of the different ways that EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, are affecting you individually and us as a community. You definitely need to go back and listen to that show. There'll be a lot of good information in there. Also, did a show with Shechemt Amhetrahem Ma'at on December the 20th, of last year, just as we were closing out the year, did an awesome show with her on meditation, more than just breathing and relaxation. Meditation, more than just breathing and relaxation. With meditation being such a large part in us making the transition and the transformation and transcending the reptilian, the mammalian, the human, and the animal brains, we definitely need to know how to meditate, okay? We definitely need to know what state of consciousness we're in when we're, whether we're walking around, whether we're meditating, what hurts are we in? You know, we need to know these things, okay? It's very, very important to us becoming divine, to making that transformation. So I encourage everybody to go back and listen to that show as well. Again, that's with Shechem Amhetra Him Ma'at, and that's on December the 20th. Both of these shows are on the first page of the archives. We've got an awesome archives where you can go hear shows with Shechem Shechem, Dr. Raul Nefer Amen on Stress Free for Life. We did shows with him on Wa'eb. We've done shows with him on Meduna Teres, Volume 7. I mean, those are in the archives. We've done shows with my special guest today, Horwahehi Medaron Comment, on his book, Divine Kingship of Asante, A Model for Sustainable Development of Self and Community. Other shows we did with him, we've done series with my special guest today on the 11 Laws of God. You heard us reference that today. If you're tuning in for the first time and you're not familiar with the 11 Laws of God, scroll down the archives. You'll see shows on the 11 Laws of God where you'll get a breakdown on each particular faculty, even more in-depth than the breakdown that you heard today. Today's breakdown was in how it relates to the name, but if you go through, scroll through the archives, you'll see shows, and he's taking the faculty and breaking it down, okay? So we've done shows, series on the Asante model, okay? Awesome, awesome series there. We've done shows with different priestesses and priests of the Osirisat Society that I guarantee if you scroll through the archives, you'll find shows that you will definitely from. Brother Orwa, again, I want to take a moment to thank you, sir, for all of the work that you do. We know of the books that you've written, I mean, but you do things for us. You know, oftentimes we the things that we do know, we thank you for, but for even the things that you do on our behalf that we don't even know about, I just want to say tu'au and thank you for everything that you do, my brother. It's always a pleasure to have you. You did a wonderful, wonderful show today, breaking down the names. I know my listeners are very, very much more educated than they were prior to listening to the show. Again, I encourage everybody to get out to the workshop. That's February the 3rd, Saturday, February the 3rd. It's the African Names workshop. You want to know how to construct an African name, why it's important to construct an African name, you need to be there. That's at 6224 3rd Street, Washington, D.C. The zip code there is 20011. There's a $10 fee. That's minimal. I mean, that's you might as well say free, okay, for what you're going to get in return. And for more information, please call 202-723-5566. Again, that's 202-723-5566. Brother Wu, any closing remarks before you go?
No, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to share.
It's always a pleasure. And again, thank you for all of the work that you do. And to all of the listeners, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Share the link, okay, to this show. Okay, if you like it, you know, then I'm sure that the people that you run with, the people that you hang with, the people that you communicate with are of like mind. So if you enjoyed it and you know that there's somebody that you know that you might think would be interested in this, share the link with them. Okay, share. Do the that's a ma'at thing, right? Share. So, until my brother, I know you're gonna share. The one that called in, you got the ma'at in your name, brother. Okay, so you're in your destiny reading. So I know you're gonna share the link. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Juwanza. His name is Horwahehi Medaron Comment. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? It's that.